Welcome to Partnering with Parents, brought to you by the Classical Academies. Join us every other Tuesday as we educate, encourage, and support parents in their role as the primary educator. Hi, I'm Michelle Stanley, Chief Communications Officer for the Classical Academies. And today on the podcast, we are talking about Foster Care 101. So we have a parent and homeschooling mom with us, Molly Griffin. So welcome to the program, Molly.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. I have a great husband, three girls, nice. All at Classical, Bear Valley.
Yeah. Are you on C-track, A-track?
They're on C-track.
Okay.
We've tried all the tracks, love them, all for different reasons, but we all love the flexibility. They really love C-track, and they think they're pretty mature moving from class to class, having different teachers. So that's worked great for us.
So homeschooling three girls 100% of the time, and you have time for foster care.
Well, luckily with C-track, they do selectives.
Okay.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Yeah. How did you get involved with foster care? What
led
you there?
So between our first and second child, we had our first child and then had trouble with fertility between the first and second. So after about 4 years, I was so antsy and ready for another baby and wanted to – I've always had foster and adoption in my heart, something I've always been interested in and knew I would want to do eventually. And that just seemed like a good time. We're like, okay, maybe this is not our plan to have more biological kids. Maybe we'll just foster and adopt if that's what's meant to be. And then we had our first foster baby, newborn from the hospital. And within that month, found out I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I hear that happens a lot.
Yeah.
So we had our first placement. And then he was able to reunify with his dad. So that was an awesome situation. He has a great family, extended family and everything. And we were on our second baby and still wanted to be in the foster care world. But, you know, we had our hands full with R2. And so we did respite, which is just short-term care for 2 days to 2 weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. And just for the foster families, if they need a break, have a family emergency, you know, need to leave town. Mm-hmm. With foster care, you have to get a court order to leave the county most of the time, unless it's very close by, like an adjoining county. So we did that for a while, respite, and really loved it. It was a nice little spot for us to stay in foster care and not be too busy with our kids. So then we had our third baby and took a break on respite and foster completely. And now that our youngest is five, we were ready to jump back in, and so now we have another full-term placement.
Wow. Now, the question I always have is it really hard to watch them go when they reunify with
their families? Yes, that's the number one question for sure. It is very hard. I think that – so the whole process to be a foster parent takes a year and a half-ish now. Okay. They certify you to be foster, respite, or adopt. All at the same time, so that you don't have to go back and get another certification to adopt after you're a foster parent. So it takes a long time. They're very thorough. They have great classes with the social workers that teach you. You know, these are the issues that are going to come up. This is difficult. We're with an agency. And so agencies are nice because it's kind of like we have our own social worker. We do have our own social worker for our family. And she's, you know, our support and she really is just always there. She kind of foresees, okay, this might be an issue. You might need more support. You might just need to talk to me today on the phone and process this with me. Like, for example, in our case right now, her time is increasing with her mom, which is great.
Your current child.
Yes, our foster child. It's great. That's the goal is for us, is for her to go back to her family. We want her the families to stay together whenever it's safe. But of course, having her from the hospital, we feel part of us feel like she's our baby and we have to attach to her. We want to attach to her. That's the goal, for her to have a healthy attachment. And so, yay, when the parents are doing great, so happy that the parents are doing great. But then it's also like, oh, I need to protect this baby. And so my feelings are always 50-50, and that's okay. It's just a completely unique experience that you don't have in parenting normally. And it is really difficult when they go back, but it's also just such a happy feeling to know that you're part of the solution and this mom or dad or both has had time to go to rehab or, you know, get things in order that they need to do, you know. And I feel for her parents the way I feel for my kids in a way, like so proud, so ecstatic that they have the time to do this and to really take care of themselves first and then be a parent, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is difficult, but it's so worth it.
And what a gift you're giving someone else, well, a whole family, really. And I love that you were so transparent in how emotionally it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are the requirements or qualifications for somebody who maybe has always thought foster care sounds like a good idea, but doesn't know how in-depth it is?
So it is in-depth, but at the same time, they are not – I love the slogan that we don't need perfect parents, but we just need foster parents. And basically, you don't have to own versus rent. You know, you don't have to have a certain income or anything like that. You don't have to have a two-parent family. You don't have to have any of those things. You basically have to be able to, you know, have a place to live that has their space requirements. If they're under two, they can be in your bedroom. You don't need, like, a spare bedroom necessarily. So the county may say there can be two kids in a room, or they may say there can be four kids in a room. Kind of depends on the ages and the genders.
Sure.
But babies can share a room with adults under two, and basically just have to have a safe home and be emotionally stable and be able to cover your bills. They say, at least for our agency, you can't be on any kind of, you know, government aid.
Public assistance.
Right, because they don't want people to do it for the money,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
It's a year and a half of classes and screenings and background checks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And fees aren't too high, luckily. It's just like maybe a couple $100 in background checks.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and you have to baby-proof your home, of course. Depending on the age, there might be different requirements mm-hmm. for child-proofing. It's interesting for us. Where we live, my parents live with us on the same property, different, you know, home, but on the same property. And so everyone on your property, the adults, have to be background-checked.
Mm.
And so that's really good. It makes me feel good that there's a lot of people looking out for them. They need it.
Sure.
But it's not impossible. I mean, even a single parent can do it.
Why do you think more people don't get involved or become foster parents?
I think it's exactly what you said is the number one thing people say to me. I couldn't do it because I couldn't give them back. I would get too attached. That would be too hard. That would be hard on my kids. And it's true, but I think it's just, you know, your frame of mind. If you go into it assuming they will go home, and that's the goal. And the reason that we do foster care is for them to form a safe attachment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, studies show that that attachment piece, it's what's missing for people, you know, in the criminal systems and that can't have healthy relationships as adults. They didn't have that attachment in the first year of their life.
Sure.
And so once they can learn to trust an adult and form that bond, even if it's broken, that's unfortunate, but it's better to have it and have it broken as in if they move back.
Mm-hmm.
They are able to form that bond with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And if they get it in the first year, then their life outcome is so much different.
What do you think your children have learned from this process?
I think that they've learned that there are people out there that are less fortunate than us. And just to be aware that people have past that we may not know about and current situations we don't know about. And just to be compassionate for her biological parents, and, you know, these are not bad people that aren't taking care of their children. It's people that have been exposed to trauma and are trying to cope with it. Maybe it's with drugs or domestic violence or in making poor choices, but that's not because they're bad people. It's because they don't have a good example. And so I really want my kids to be aware of these things and see humans as humans and not as good guys and bad guys.
Sure.
And just to look out for the people that need it the most, the little people who can't speak for themselves. And
I love that. I mean, talk about character education being, you know, integrated into your homeschooling. Do you need to get her?
No, I think she's okay. She's great.
So what you can't see right now is Molly has her little foster daughter sitting right next to us. And she's looking at her through the glass. So
she's checking in with me and smiling.
She's cute as can be.
She's such a mellow baby, which is so helpful.
Oh, yeah. When your current foster child is reunified with her birth parents, Will you have the ability to have visitation with her?
So we will if her mom wants to, or whoever she goes through Unified to. Sometimes it's grandparents, mom, dad, aunt, anybody she gets reunified to. It's up to that person. The goal is, you know, for us to stay in her life, and we do have a great relationship, me and her mom, and so I really hope so. I am in contact with some of my former foster kiddos, and some I'm not, and something that they teach us going in is you may not keep contact just because it's a hard time in their life, and they may not want to revisit that every time they visit with us, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So that's something that we kind of have to respect what they feel is best.
Sure, sure. Does the county provide any sort of compensation for becoming a foster parent?
Yes. So once you have a placement, you have a stipend, and it varies from agency to county. I think you get a higher stipend, they call it, if you're with the county. If you're with an agency, part of that stipend goes to the agency's services. So us having a social worker and that all of the support that goes along that with that costs money, you know. So
sure.
We get less being with an agency, but more support.
Sure.
So for us, for our agency, for an infant, we get anywhere from $900 to $1,300 a month.
Okay.
Depending on the needs of the infant. Yeah, so they have a new thing called level of care.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the infant or the child's needs, if they have, you know, some foster children have a lot of needs because of neglect.
Sure.
Or exposure to drugs or abuse. So they may have occupational therapy, speech therapy. So the more appointments and the more higher needs that they are, the higher their needs, the more, the higher your compensation will be.
I see.
And the only thing with the stipend is, well, it's nice that it's not taxable. So it's nice that way. And
well, it goes quick, diapers, formula.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to, formula and food is covered by WIC.
Okay.
For kids in this foster system. So okay. That's helpful too. So we don't pay for formula, but we do pay for diapers. We have to use $50 a month of that around $1,000 stipend on clothes for them.
Okay.
And they have, you know,
which
they need to make
real
sure.
It's easy to do.
Yeah, exactly. Which can include diapers too. So, I mean, half of it goes to diapers.
Yeah. Why do you and your family continue to foster?
I think being part of the process is just so inspiring, and seeing these little humans that come from adverse situations, how strong and resilient and beautiful they are is just such an honor to be a part of their little lives. I'm not sure. It's just something that's always been in my heart, and all of us love it. My girls love babies. My husband's great with the babies, and so it's just been a great fit for a stay-at-home mom. You know,
it's really a great
way to give back and be able to be with my kids.
And you might be able to hear Molly's foster daughter crying right now. So with that said, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're
and
amazing.
I love talking about it. Thank you so much. Yeah. And I encourage anyone out there who's interested, talk to the county workers or look up an agency near you, and you can go and just learn more at an orientation.
Partnering with Parents is brought to you by the Classical Academies, a group of award-winning public charter schools serving over 4,500 students in Southern California. Suggest a future episode or advertise with us by visiting classicalacademy.com/podcast. Consider subscribing to our channel, leaving us a review, and supporting our Patreon page. Thanks for listening.